else.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into the program. And hope your day is starting off well, if a little bit wet. It's all right. It's a little warmer, too. Not as windy. A lot of W's in there to start the day. But it's going to be like this for the next couple of days, as you heard Phil mention. But we will have some nice weather coming up this weekend. Also, it is opening day, or I guess we should say opening night. Who are the Major League Baseball scheduling geniuses who said for the first day of the season, and I get it, there's other factors involved in this decision-making, but on the surface, why would you have an East Coast team open up the season playing a West Coast team in a night game? So you've got the Red Sox and the Mariners 10-10. You've got to stay up until 10 p.m. tonight if you are excited to watch the first baseball game of the season for the Boston Red Sox. And they wonder why viewership is down for baseball. They wonder why they have trouble catching on with a younger fan base. You know, there's always the complaint, well, they put the World Series on in primetime and the game starts too late and nobody's going to really fall in love with baseball if they can't watch. Okay, fine. I don't really buy into that argument. People will stay up for it's only seven nights at the most for the World Series. You'll survive. But come on, opening day? This is the day that's supposed to get everybody excited. I don't even care about baseball, but I'll usually watch the opening day game. I used to care. I just don't anymore. And you're going to open the season at 10 p.m. Of course, you'll be able to watch other games as well. But to watch the Red Sox, you're going to have to stay up. And how many people are really going to do that? What will happen is people will say, well, I'll DVR the game and I'll watch it tomorrow. And maybe they will because, you know, it's a series out in Seattle. So maybe they'll just watch Thursday and Friday's games. Well, I guess people can stay up late on Friday, but still. Just dumb. Have two West Coast teams play a 10-10 game. I just don't get it. I don't get why you would do that. But then again, baseball does a lot of things that I say. Why would you do that? I guess the start of baseball season is always hopeful, but I don't think people have a lot of hope for the Red Sox this year. I don't think there's big expectations, but sometimes that's a year that the team can surprise you. So that'll be all my baseball analysis probably for this season. Unless I somehow get wrapped back up into it again. But I don't know. It didn't hold appeal for me for a number of years. I mean, we used to watch every game, every night. At least, you know, through June, July, August, September, October. Maybe not so much the April, May games. Maybe even not some of the June games. But once, you know, regular TV was done for the season, done for the year, we would put on the Red Sox each night. And maybe we were reading a book or having a conversation, or I would be writing or doing something. But but it would be on the background. And then other nights we would be just enraptured by the game. I'll never forget, there was a game, I don't remember who it was against, but I was putting together my new computer desk, which I had stupidly bought some weird design computer desk. It was like, oh, there's going to be all these shelves and stuff that I can keep things on, like media guides and everything, and have a nice, neat area to work. No, it just gave me more places I could shove stuff. But I'm putting it together, and it was one of the worst things I've ever tried to put together. I'm usually pretty good with that stuff, but this was taking me hours and hours and hours. And it just so happened that Red Sox game went into extra innings, very extra innings. And at the time, it was Sean McDonough and Jerry Remy doing the commentary. And I forget who came out. Maybe it was Rich Garces. And it was like the 14th inning, and McDonough just made the crack. He goes, well, you know, he is the most effective 14th inning pitcher in all of baseball. And I just lost it, maybe because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. But that'll always be one of my Red Sox highlights. And then in 2004, when the night they won the World Series, we had actually gone out to see a comedy show in Providence at the Comedy Connection. We were big fans of the NBC show Last Comic Standing, and this was like the first or second season or something. And they had brought some of the stars of the show out on tour, and so we went to see it. And Gary Gulman, who's from Boston, was the headliner of the three comedians they brought out. And he actually cut his set short and like walked off stage. He said to everybody, he's like, hey, listen, everybody, I'm really sorry to do this, but I've waited my whole life to see the Red Sox win the World Series, and they're about to win. So, you know, thank you. Have a good night. I mean, he had done 45 minutes already, but maybe he cut it short by another 10. And then we raced home to be able to watch the game. Actually, we tried to go to a bar first on the way home just because we didn't want to miss anything. And it was so packed. We said, bah, let's try and get home. And we made it in time. My son had just been born a few months before, and I took him out of the crib and made him sit there and watch it. I'm sure he remembers it fondly. Anyway, 508-996-0500. The discussion that we were having yesterday about the, I kept mentioning to you the big Seize the Deal sale that we were having at seizethedeal.com. I mean, so many of you were certainly paying attention to that because some of those deals that we had have now sold out, but there are still a number of them available. If you go to seizethedeal.com, there's still a number of $50 gift certificates that you can get for just $15. So you can get $50 to eat in a number of different restaurants across the South Coast for just $15. But the sale's only going on through Sunday, so you want to make sure that you get over there and get it. And also thank you to everybody who took advantage of not only getting the Seize the Deal yesterday that went on sale for Jersey Mike subs, but for those of you who went to Jersey Mike's and took part in their day of giving. As it turned out, I ended up not going over there and getting a sandwich. Sean Oliver was nice enough to bring in some delicious baked goods when he came in to be on Chris's show, and I had a donut, and that filled me up. But just to make you aware, since we're talking about some of these special deals that we have at Seize the Deal and that 70% off sale, also going on sale, but not part of the 70% off sale. But going on sale tomorrow at 1 p.m., we have 110 Grill, $50 gift card for $25. And we have also tomorrow morning, $50 in gift certificates to the Old Grist Mill in Seekonk for $25, which is a great place. So those are just some of the upcoming deals at seizethedeal.com, but we will have those special 70% off deals until Sunday or until they are sold out. So if you're interested in Yozakura Sushi, The Common Pub and Grill, Mi Antojo, Canned Heat. Any of these places, definitely get on seizedeal.com ASAP and check out those deals. There's something that's going to be happening today in the north end of Boston that I find fascinating. Now, if you've been keeping up with the north end restaurants' grievances, they feel like they are being shut out of outdoor dining in the city of Boston. That during the pandemic, when we had the outdoor dining, program, we'll say, when a lot of municipalities were saying, you know what, we will expand outdoor dining into places that normally wouldn't have it because we want to make sure people can go out and eat, but we want to make sure that they can socially distance. So they expanded outdoor dining, and that included a lot of these North End restaurants. Well, now that those programs are no longer in place, these North End restaurants are fighting some of the restrictions and some of the issues that they're having. Last year, the city of Boston issued no permits for on-street outdoor dining in the North End for the second year in a row. This is the second year in a row that they're not going to allow that. Last year, they didn't allow it. This year, they're not going to allow it. So the restaurants are doing something unprecedented today. A number of North End restaurant owners are closing their businesses for 2 hours today between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. to hold a meeting. And they've invited Boston Mayor Michelle Wu to come to the meeting. It's a public meeting. They want people to be there and to hear what they have to say. But they shut down for 2 hours today. Now you say, well, 3 to 5, that's kind of the slow period during in a restaurant anyway. Well, kind of, yeah, but also keep in mind two things. One, early birds, right? Like you're going to have people that are looking to get in there at 4:30. Hopefully they're allowing their workers to at least get in and get ready for dinner. But the other part of this is that right down the street at TD Garden, a place that when people go to games, they park in the garage, across the street, they walk to some of those great North End restaurants, they eat, and then they go back to the garden to watch the game. They're having two Sweet 16 games in the garden tonight. The first one is at 7:39. And there's going to be people that want to go to these restaurants at 4 p.m. because they don't want to go get there at 5 and risk not getting out of there until 7 and then walking back to the garden and then trying to get their beer and then sitting down and then they might miss tip off. So there's going to be people that want to get over there at that time. Now, the second game isn't until 10:09, so people that are going to that game will have time to eat ahead of time, but these restaurants are taking a big risk closing for those 2 hours to hold this meeting, but that's how important that they feel this is, and they feel like this is something that's symbolic, and it's also something that hopefully gets on the mayor's radar of, hey, you might have some people that came to this city for Sweet 16 games that are going to be pretty ticked off that they can't walk down the street and eat in a famous North End eatery. So an interesting story to certainly keep an eye on. And to see how it shakes out. They're saying that the streets are too narrow, that there isn't enough parking, that there's all these different issues that make it so that they can't allow outdoor dining in the North End when they had done it before. But the restaurant owners were saying, hey, these problems exist in other areas of the city too, and you let them do it. So I guess the ball is in Michelle Wu's court, pun completely intended. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take my first break of the morning, and we'll be back in a few moments. Every finger in the room is pointing at me. I want to spit in the face and get afraid of what that could bring. I got a bowling ball in my stomach. I got a desert in my
like my courage would choose to sell out now. I've been looking for a savior in these dirty streets, looking for a savior beneath these dirty sheets. I've been raising up my hands, drop another nail in, just what God needs, one more victim.
And we could all use a little more Tori Amos in the morning. 508-996-0500 is the number here. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But today is Thursday, which means we are just 2 days away. 2 days away from having ourselves some bourbon therapy, right? Bourbon therapy is coming to Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. And now through Saturday, you can purchase a raffle ticket for a chance to purchase one of four special reserve bottles. These are highly collectible, very sought after bottles of bourbon that you will be able to enter into this raffle. And then four winners will be drawn, and that winner will get an opportunity to purchase one of these. And I know that sounds weird, but that's how it works with these very rare bottles, such as Old Rip Van Winkle, George T. Stagg. We're talking about some brands that you just don't find everywhere. And all the money from the raffle will go to benefit the Fairhaven Animal Shelter. It's all part of the big bourbon therapy event that's going to be happening Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They're going to have numerous vendors on hand, and the whole thing is going to be hosted by the guys from Keeping It Neat. Also, if you purchase a bottle of Wheatley Vodka, you will automatically get a raffle ticket. So for more information or to get your tickets or to get ready to get down there for bourbon therapy, visit Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. Check them out on Facebook and follow them on Instagram. I'll probably be down there. And from 2 to 4 p.m., you might see me there the whole time because there's going to be five different vendors on hand and a lot of different things to try and sample. But what I love is I love learning. Learning about the process of how they make them, learning about how they put together the recipes and the flavors, learning about what makes one brand and one distillation process different from another. It's fascinating stuff, and you're going to have folks who are very knowledgeable and your opportunity to taste while also helping to raise money for the Fairhaven Animal Shelter. So it's a win-win-win all around, except for the animals. They don't get to actually have any of the bourbon. They only get the benefit of the raffle, but that's all right. That's more for the rest of us. So bourbon therapy at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven coming up this Saturday. Looking forward to seeing you all there. All right, well, we are going to be going into the newsroom in just a moment. We're going to get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt. On the other side, you can react to 508-996-0500. You can also send in those app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And of course, you can always email me as well if that's easier for you, tim@wbsm.com. But I love the old-fashioned way. I love talking to you on the phone. So we'll take your calls coming up in just a few moments. But right now, let's go into the newsroom with Phil Devitt.
Bodies recovered from the water in Baltimore. A former senator dead at 82. And the Pope resumes his routine in time for Easter.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The bodies of two construction workers have been recovered from the water after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Maryland State Police Superintendent Colonel Roland Butler says the victims' bodies were discovered yesterday inside a red pickup truck at around 25 feet of water.
It took them a while to secure that vehicle properly, place airbags around the vehicle. Then it was very slow traveling to tow that vehicle to the shoreline. At some point, they realized that the water's depth would not support towing it all the way in. It was at that point the deceased were removed from the vehicle and brought to the shore.
Authorities say it's no longer safe for recovery divers to navigate the wreckage, and efforts have shifted to a salvage operation. Following the salvage phase, divers will continue their efforts to recover the bodies of four additional construction workers who went missing in the bridge collapse. Meanwhile, the National Transportation Safety Board held a Wednesday night news conference on the collapse. Chair Jennifer Homendy says the cargo manifest for the Dolly shows the ship was carrying 56 containers or 764 tons of hazardous materials.
Corrosives, a number of flammable materials, and we have some miscellaneous. They fall under what is class 9, which is miscellaneous hazardous materials, which is where the lithium-ion batteries would be.
Homendy also says some of the containers had been breached. A preliminary report is expected in 2 to 4 weeks, and the full investigation could take up to 2 years. Former Connecticut Senator and Vice Presidential nominee Joe Lieberman has passed away. A Stamford native, Lieberman served as a senator in the state from 1989 to 2013. In 2000, Lieberman became the first Jewish candidate on a major party ticket when he was selected as Al Gore's running mate. He died at the age of 82 after complications from a fall, according to family. A new Gallup poll finds the number of people who disapprove of the Israel-Hamas war has increased to 55% over the last 4 months. Approval of Israel's war is also divided along party lines, with 64% of Republicans supporting the military action in Gaza, compared to just 18% of Democrats. As the death toll in Palestine reaches over 32,000, protests calling for a ceasefire have increased across the U.S. The United Nations also warning that an overwhelming majority of citizens in Gaza are facing starvation. It's been 1 year since the Covenant school shooting in Nashville that claimed 6 lives. In a statement, Governor Bill Lee said Tennessee had been forever changed and added that, quote, our hope is that through that change, along with the prayers of millions, there will be redemption through this great tragedy. Since last year, some lawmakers have been calling for common sense gun laws in the state. And Pope Francis is back to reading full prepared texts himself at his weekly audience. On Wednesday, the 87-year-old gave the reading rather than having an aide do so like he's done in recent weeks. Francis has been dealing with a number of health issues for over a month. The pontiff will preside over a number of services this week, with Easter approaching on Sunday after cutting back on public appearances while having to visit the hospital.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Bruins lost last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The score 3-1. Next up, a game with the Washington Capitals on Saturday. Red Sox kicking off the season tonight out west in Seattle. Game just after 10. The Boston Celtics on the road as well, playing the Atlanta Hawks tonight at 7:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We're going to start the day from the gate with rain, and we're looking at it as a rain fog deal. So that means not only are the roadways going to be slippery, but the fog will also reduce visibility. So you might want to leave yourself a little extra time to get where you're headed. This will go on for the entire day today. We're looking at highs topping out in the 50s. For tonight, the rain and fog continue through the overnight. Lows will drop into the upper 30s. And for Friday, rain may start the day, but it's not going to finish it. Look for clearing and breezy conditions with a high near 50. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Of course, stepping out by the great Joe Jackson, and a lot of restaurant owners in the north end of Boston will be stepping out today between 3 and 5 p.m., closing down their restaurants to have a meeting, a public meeting, to share their grievances with why they're not being allowed for the second year in a row to have outdoor dining when other neighborhoods in Boston are allowed to do so. And so today, on a day when there's going to be a lot of people in town heading to TD Garden for Sweet 16 NCAA games, there's probably money being left on the table here to prove their point. And tourists that will be upset because, hey, we came in early because we wanted to experience some of these great North End restaurants, and now they're all closed. But they've invited the mayor to come down. Jeff in Fall River says, good morning, Tim. I highly doubt the mayor of Boston. Did I say, anyway, the mayor of Boston will attend the North End restaurant meeting. It's terrible when Boston forces these restaurants to go above and beyond and spend thousands of dollars to set up curbside dining and then not issue permits to keep it going. Shame on her and the administration. And, you know, that's something that I've felt this way about since this started. You know, and I knew it was going to be an issue when they started allowing outdoor dining during the pandemic, because all I could think of is, hey, this is great if it sticks around afterwards. Like, yes, it helps the restaurants during the time when you couldn't have as many people inside and when people might not have wanted to go inside. But I didn't expect that all these places that ease the restrictions on it would say, and you can keep doing it afterwards. Now, we're seeing a lot of those pandemic era programs stick around, or, you know, some of the ideas that they've done stick around. A lot of restaurants still, rather than give out paper menus, or in addition to giving out paper menus, have the QR codes you can scan. A lot of restaurants will let you pay your bill online as opposed to having to wait for the server to come back with the check. Like, these are nice things when they're available, and if you want to use them, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can. You know, I went to Buffalo Wild Wings the other night for something to eat in between the movies that I was seeing at the movie theater, and it was nice to be able to pay online and not have to wait for the server to come back. Not that she was slow, but I'm just looking at the clock thinking about when I'm going to get back to the theater, so it's easier for me to just scan and pay. You know, cocktails to go was a big deal, and now they're looking to make that a permanent thing. Because why not? Other states offer it. Why does puritanical Massachusetts have to be so behind the times in it? And outdoor dining was something that a lot of people liked. I'm not a big fan of it per se. I don't mind it. But it all depends on the day or how I'm feeling in that moment. If I go to a restaurant and it's, you know, the blazing heat of summer, I want to go sit inside in air conditioning for a little while. I don't want to stay outside. But I went to an Italian restaurant in Salem in October with some friends. And inside was full, but they said, we have an outside table if you'd like to have that. And they had the nice big heater next to it. And so, you know, that was a nice experience. We moved inside as soon as the table opened up. But to me, it's, you know, dependent on the situation. Dining al fresco is not something that I care about when I'm going out to eat. But other people do. But to Jeff and Fall River's point, you had these restaurants invest to be able to put this on during the pandemic when you wanted them to stay open, generating tax revenue for the city. And so they spent their own money to do that. And granted, some of them might have applied for pandemic relief funds to help with that, but still, they spent their money. This wasn't something the city came down and did for them. They continued to generate meal tax revenue for the city of Boston, also paying property taxes if they own the building and all of that. So they continued to support the city's tax base. And now the city's saying, well, that was nice when we wanted you to do it, but now we don't want you to. They have every right to be upset about this. And they need better explanations from the city than what they're getting. Better explanation. And by the way, This is something that now, because people don't have to dine outdoors, allows for increased capacity at those restaurants. It's not like these, well, they'll just go inside instead of outside. There's plenty of seating inside. No, we're talking about this is increased capacity. They're still going to be full. This is additional seating for them, which means additional tax revenue. So you're cutting off your nose to spite your face here. So I think it would be nice if Mayor Wu or somebody from her administration showed up at this meeting to at least give the appearance of, we're willing to listen to you. But it doesn't seem like they are, when for the second year in a row, they're just saying, nope, no permits for outdoor dining in the North End. A place where they serve a lot of Italian cuisine. And in Italy, outdoor dining is a huge part of their dining experience. Hence al fresco. Anyway, 508-996-0500, or you can send app chat messages or open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I've got to take a break, and we'll be back in a few moments.
App.
And that is The Cure, but I probably should have played Limp Bizkit heading into this this point that I'm going to bring up. But also, it's really hard to find a good Limp Bizkit song that I can actually play on the radio. And if you can find one that you can play on the radio this early in the morning. So forgive me for not going full Fred Durst for this announcement. But if you haven't heard, 7-Eleven, they may want to be looking to get Fred Durst in as a pitchman for this, because 7-Eleven has announced a new line of seltzers. And, you know, of course, you've got to have the kind of seltzers that people want to drink. These, you know, they're actually sparkling waters is how they're referring to them, sparkling waters. But, of course, you've got to have your lemon lime. They've got green apple. They've got sweet orange. But they also have one that only a biscuitarian could love. Because if you remember, they had an album. I guess I'll say this on the radio. Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water. They actually have Hot Dog Flavored Water as part of this sparkling water line. Big Bite Hot Dog Sparkling Water will be one of the flavors that are coming out. And according to this press release from 7-Eleven, it combines the delicious and mouthwatering experience of 7-Eleven's iconic Big Bite Hot Dog into one refreshing beverage. Ketchup and mustard included. Gone are the days of alternating bites of a hot dog with sips of a beverage. Now those on the go can swap the bun for bubbles. Cue Dr. Ian Malcolm. You were so busy wondering if you could have, you didn't think about whether or not you should have. Like, come on, hot dog flavored water. And hot dog flavored water, I think, you know, I think of if I was to take a drink of the boiling water that the hot dogs were in when you cook the hot dogs. I'm not thinking about including ketchup and mustard in the flavor of it. But I'm an idiot. I'm a dope. And I will probably buy one of these cans of Big Bite hot dog flavored sparkling water when it's released, when I can get it at the 7-Eleven across the street here. I'll probably try it, and I'll probably put up a video on social media because I'm dumb and I do that. For some reason, people like to do taste tests of things and put them online, and I fall right into that trap. I somehow think people care what I think about hot dog flavored water when I drink it. But I get it. They're getting a lot of attention for this. But I got a feeling that this will be the one flavor in that line of sparkling waters that won't stick around very long. You know, maybe it'll be a limited time release. Well, who knows? Maybe it turns out to be a huge hit. People have liked grosser things. Do you remember, though, when like we used to put quality into some of our beverages? Remember Fruitopia? That was a quality beverage. I guess for every Fruitopia, people can say, well, what about OK Cola? All right, you've got me there. That tastes like somebody just put a bunch of Skittles in the bottom of a can of Coke. I get it. But yes, hot dog flavored sparkling water coming your way from 7-Eleven. I guess to combine the flavors of hot dogs and water while you're on the go. And probably give yourself indigestion. 508-996-0500. Well, one place, one gas station where you can get some food that won't repulse you. One place you can get some food that's actually the best around is at Gas Express at the corner of Tarkin Hill Road and Belleville Avenue in New Bedford. Gas Express is the home of crispy, crunchy chicken. It is my favorite chicken in New Bedford, and so many people are telling me that it's their favorite as well. In fact, I was just at another restaurant last night using up a seize the deal before it expired, and I posted a photo and somebody commented underneath it and said, you know, enjoy your dinner. I had crispy, crunchy chicken and it was fantastic, because the word is getting out. Everybody is trying it. And if you haven't tried it yet, you need to get down to Gas Express and try crispy, crunchy chicken. Why? Because it's not greasy chicken like you're going to get at other places. It's not dry. It's lightly spiced, breaded chicken that is meaty, that is juicy, whether you get bone-in or some of their huge boneless tenders, and I mean huge, like the size of my fist, or if you want to grab their Cajun chicken sandwich. They also have fantastic sides like macaroni and cheese, potato wedges, jambalaya. I had the jambalaya last week. It was really, really good. And it was the perfect complement to the chicken tenders, to the boneless chicken. And I got the barbecue sauce. Previously, I got, you know, their original sauce. This time, I got the barbecue, one of the best barbecue sauce cups I've ever had. So check it out. Crispy, crunchy chicken inside Gas Express at the corner of Tarkin Hill Road and Belleville Avenue in New Bedford. Or you can get it through Got Chew, DoorDash, and Uber Eats. Let's see. Let's take a quick call here before I have to go to my final break of the hour. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Not too bad. I have an appointment very early. That's why I'm going to head out extra early today. Mm-hmm. But since you're talking about food, mm-hmm. I thought I would bring this up. If there ever came a time, because now they're trying to give you that meat slime that's not real meat. Did you see all that, all the news? They're making meat in the lab there?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, you know, some of the attempts that they've made to create artificial meat. I've had some artificial meat. Some of it's pretty good.
Okay. So how yeah, I know you're not talking about that vegan stuff though. That's not what I meant.
Right, right. No, I've had like meat slurry, like meat byproduct. You know, like the stuff that they make that, you know, I also do enjoy the stuff they make with the vegetables too. The Beyond Burgers, the Impossible Burgers, those are pretty good. But I've had some of that like meat paste stuff that they've created.
What did you like it?
I mean, it didn't repulse me, but I wouldn't eat it on purpose.
Yeah, well, you did.
Well,
how
yeah.
How much were you eating it?
To try it. I tried it for the sake of trying it.
And I don't go for none of that vegan stuff. I mean, vegan diet, that's a starvation diet. That's another day. But if there was a time that I couldn't get any real meat, because I heard you the other day saying something that you and some other guys, I don't know who it was, I don't remember, but you said something about you like bears. And not to eat, but I mean you like bears. But I have no problem eating bear meat if that is all I could get. Now, have you ever heard of anybody eating bear meat? I
sure,
know
yeah.
People in pioneer days, they must have eaten bears.
Yeah, and if somebody gave me a bear steak, I'd try it. I mean, I didn't kill the bear, so.
Now that you said that, where would I even find it?
I don't know.
I don't think I can walk into the butcher and get it. I don't think so.
I don't think it's something you can get around here, no.
But I would have no trouble with it, even though. And I was on a website the other day where they were talking about people that eat dogs, that there are people that will eat dogs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't eat my own dog. But if I was ever in a position and the dog wasn't mine and we were all starving to death, I don't have a problem. I it's sad to say that, but I got to move on, too, because time is going. That haunt, TV haunt there, the thing you put up there about the hotels, haunted hotels.
Oh, yeah, Hotel Paranormal, the show I did with Dan Aykroyd, yep.
Yes, well, I immediately went in there at night because I was looking for something to watch, and I saw that, and so I went in there. Now, nothing scares me, you know, but that show was a little bit different, and I was a little bit, I had to, you're not going to believe me when I tell you this, but it's God's honest truth, I'm not lying. While I was watching the episodes of it, I got about three episodes in, very interesting, kind of really scary. I had to actually pause the video a few times because I heard noises in my apartment. Don't laugh.
I'm not laughing. No.
That put it into my mind, watching that stuff. And I had to keep pausing it. I said, it could be somebody in the hallway because there's all people, you know, walking around here. But as soon as I paused the video, I heard nothing. It was very silent. So I started it again and was watching it. And boy, well, that guy in that hotel, that poor guy.
That show is very well done. I wish they had made more seasons. There's another first season. I'll see if I can find you some links for that and you can watch the first one.
Yeah, I'm going to go back into it tonight. I've been doing a lot of different stuff around here, so I'm not going to stop until I finish the whole thing.
All right. I got to hold you there just because I got to take this final break, okay. But thank you for the call.
Have a good day.
You too. And we'll talk more about that coming up, but right now I've got to go to this final break of the hour.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save.